Tonight, tried to get all the way through the judges, but when you're trying to span 100 years and catch the main events, there's a lot to go through, and you still miss some things. So I'm actually going to start by backtracking, or when we get into the slides, I'm going to start by backtracking into last week's a little bit before we get into this. But if you go to Judges chapter 10, you'll find the judges that we're at now. Judges chapter 10. We're going to skip over reading about Abimelech. It'd be worth your time to read about Abimelech again. But you have a couple chapters on him. I'll just tell you real quick, he was the son of Gideon. When Gideon died, he figured that that he had the right to become king, as Gideon was the established leader in Israel. And he Abimelech figured he could be heir to a supposed throne. So he killed off his entire family and then told his countrymen to anoint him king. He paid the money to do so, and they did. God allowed him to reign for 3 years, but because of his sin, God returned his sin upon his head, and he died with a piece of millstone coming down off a wall, or being thrown off a wall at him and breaking his head. You find that in chapter 9. Chapter 10, we're going to look at the first couple verses. We see the next two judges are Tola and Jer. And after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Puah, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar. And he dwelt in Shamer in the Mount Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamer. And after him arose Jer, the Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years. And he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts, and they had 30 cities, which are called Havoth-Jair unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jer died and was buried in Kamon. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the accounts of this time, even when they're just a short look at, like these couple judges, Lord, that you kept the chronology all there for us to be able to backtrack and compare with history. We thank you for the thoroughness of your word and how that shows that the same thoroughness applies to every area where it speaks about our lives. Bless this evening as we have it together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, to backtrack just a little bit, remember Gideon was the judge until the end of the 1300s. So if we go back into 1332 till 1323, King Tut was the pharaoh in Egypt at that time. So we're most familiar with King Tut. When you hear about pharaohs, the two that you know the most are probably King Tut and Ramses. So this period in the book of Judges, from Gideon through to Jer, is actually when Tut and Ramses would have been in authority in Egypt. So just at the start of Gideon's life, King Tut was down there. A couple kings later, we have Ramses. We'll get to him in just a moment. I'm sorry, Deborah and Barak. King Tut was corresponding with Deborah and Barak. All right, let's go to the next slide and we'll start looking at what we have for this evening. Okay, so towards the end of Gideon's life, this is where we have to back up just a little bit. Two well-known events that are in history take place, and two that are we'd be it'd be wrong for us to miss. One of them is the book of Ruth. As we're looking through the Bible anyway, let's get things in line. The book of Ruth falls in line with Judges at this point. So while at the end of Gideon's ruler or judgeship, if you will, about 5 years approximately 5 years before Gideon died is when Ruth and Boaz would have been married. So during the famine, the plagues, the time of want that was under the Midianite the Midianites bothering Israel, that's when Ruth's in-laws, Naomi, thank you, Naomi's family would have said, hey, we're getting out of here. And they went down to Moab. So basically the life of Gideon, we have a corresponding story happening in Ruth where they go out down to the land of Moab. They raise their family down there. Their sons grow up. They get married. They all die. And Ruth and Naomi come back. And then they meet Boaz. They find out he's the kinsman redeemer. Ruth and Boaz get married. And they become, in God's plan, part of the line of Christ. So this is happening while Gideon is the judge. Also, Ramses II, which is who, when we hear about Ramses, there's a Ramses way, way, way back in the early Egypt, and there's a lot of discussion on exactly where and how and everything. And then there's Ramses I later on, but after the Exodus. And then you have Ramses II, who, when you hear about Ramses, people are either talking about the very original Ramses, nobody really knows when and where he was, or they're talking more likely about Ramses II. He was known as the Great Pharaoh through much of Egyptian history, even after this point. He is said to be the greatest pharaoh of the New Kingdom. You have, if you remember right, as we've been going through this, in Egypt you have the Old Kingdom, the Middle Kingdom, and the New Kingdom. So the 18th dynasty brought in the New Kingdom, the 19th dynasty it became established. Ramses II was the third pharaoh in the 19th dynasty, and he was the greatest of the pharaohs of the New Kingdom. I'm skipping one here, but just because we're looking first at the two well-known events. Ramses took the throne in 1279, and he ruled until 1213. So he was the pharaoh through the time of Gideon, or half the time of Gideon, through Abimelech, through Tola, and Jer. So all these judges that we're looking at tonight, that you have one pharaoh, a great pharaoh who accomplished many things for Egypt, ruling down there. And then let's back up just a little bit on our slide. And we have Jason and the Argonauts. Anybody know about Jason and the Argonauts in Greek mythology? There's this guy, this adventurer. This is a super summed version, okay? This adventurer takes an elite crew with him, and he sails the seas and does these conquests for a nation, a king that their nation is currently serving. It is the stuff of legends. It is in Greek mythology, so exact dates are hard to pin down. Exactly who these guys were, how much of it was embellished, but Jason and the Argonauts is also one of the accounts that it's more detailed. There's more detail about the people themselves. a lot, again, as we've looked at different blips in Greek history and how it ties in with Greek mythology, they kind of, you know how the Egyptians, they kept all their kings in order, but they really didn't have a chronology. The time in years wasn't important to them, just how long certain kings were the god over their country. Greeks were a little bit different. They took all their history and they legendized it. They made it into myths. They embellished the story. So you have to kind of weed through and see, okay, well, these guys all line up chronologically. You don't have exact dates, but you can follow through and say, working everything backwards. This guy was the son of this guy, who was the son of this guy, who was related to this guy, or took over from this guy in such a way. So you find a historical pattern in even through the Greek mythology, as long as you leave the gods out of it. But even them, as we've looked at, you can go back and find a timeline for Hercules. So again, legends that were based off of likely a real man who was probably pretty strong. You can go back and you can find an astronomer named Atlas. So there's all those things that you can tie back into an actual person at some point. So well, if you know Greek stories, then you would come across Jason and the Argonauts, and those adventures, per se, would have been happening about the time of Gideon, Abimelech, and Tola, somewhere right in there. Let's go on to the next one. All right. So, the oldest surviving Chinese manuscript is dated 1250 BC, or 1250, 1251. There's a bit of discrepancy there, but, you know, a year off, who's gonna squabble on that amount of time apart from us? So this would have been the time of Abimelech. We understand he probably took the throne in 1249. So right between 1249, 1251. No, I'm going the other way. Took the throne 1251. That's got me three times today already. It took the throne 1251, and then 50, 49. Yeah, so 49 is when he would have died. So right when Abimelech was usurping control in Israel, there were some documents being written over in China, and those documents are the oldest ones that we have. They're in some museum somewhere. That are surviving still today. Now, there's documents that reference older manuscripts and older oral traditions of history as well, but this would be the oldest one that is accessible. So that's kind of neat. And then next we have Judge Tola's time. He corresponds with King Agis of Athens. Again, most of what we know about King Agis is in the in their mythology, but it lines up in a timeline without dates added onto them. But again, if you know anything about Greek mythology, his son Menethesis had to go to Crete. And they sentenced him, because at that time Athens was under Crete, and they sentenced him to go in the maze and be killed by the Minotaur. It was sacrificed to the Minotaur, the bull creature. And his name, he was smarter than everybody before him. He took a line and he tied it to the door so that he could find his way out. He went in, and he killed the beast, and he followed his line back out. Well, the story goes that he was the king's son, and the story goes that when they left, the ship had black sails, and they were under orders that if the prince made it out and was allowed to return, they would switch the sails from black to white, saying that he had lived. Well, King Agis was very anxious about his son and was waiting on the coast, and he saw the ship coming, and they'd forgotten to change the sails. He was alive and on the boat, but the sails were still black. And the story goes that he saw the black sails, and he jumped off the cliffs and drowned in the sea. And again, this is one of the things where it's quote-unquote the stuff of legends, but it lines up with, you have a a family tree lineup, if you will. And we today still call it the Aegean Sea, where Aegeus jumped in and drowned because out of sorrow. So all that to say, that's a really, and I know we're not looking at Greek mythology in church, but all that to say, that was happening at the time we have in the Bible, Tola as the judge in Israel. Now we don't know a lot about Tola, just where he's from, what tribe, and what family, and how long that he judged and where he was buried. Doesn't really say what was going on during his day, other than he had to clean up the mess from Abimelech. Then, with Judge Jair, probably the greatest event that was going on at this time. Again, at the same time as all these guys who judge, Ramses II is doing great things in Egypt. So most of the history you would find in this period is what Ramses is doing. So Judge Jair ruled at the time when a man named Mithras began the second dynasty of Assyria. At this time, Assyria was still a fairly mediocre power. They were rising and falling amidst the Babylonians, the Kassites, and the Hittites, and the Ugarites. There was that continual power shift still going on in the Mesopotamian area. Also, I forgot to stick it on there, but over in southern North America and into South America, I should have written it down. The major tribe that was before the Aztecs and the Incas, does anybody remember who they were? Earlier yet, I think it's Olmec or Olmec or I can't remember. Olmec, yeah. Anyway, that one. The earliest of the four was being established and actually building a power at this same time. So again, when we read the Bible, it's not just what's happening in that corner of the world. All the world had people at that point. And there's stuff going on all over the place. I think that was the last one. If you want to roll to the next one, I don't think I finished it. Yeah, we'll just stop there. You can probably put that two and two together with that picture. I'll go ahead and tell you, just we're pretty short tonight. But while Jephthah, the biggest thing that was happening with the next couple judges was while Jephthah was judging in Israel, Menethesus, the guy whose dad jumped into the Aegean Sea, he married a lady named Helen. Who wants to guess where Helen was from? From Troy. And after a few years, the guys in Troy and Sparta said, we don't think he should have our sister as a wife anymore. So they went down and they took her back. Well, he didn't like that. And the Trojan War happened. So the Trojan War happened from approximately 1194 to 1184 and ended, of course, at least the story goes with the Trojan horse. There's indications that the Trojan War is for real. There's some mostly speculation that the Trojan horse was actually what ended the war or how that all worked. But it is an integral part of the story. But that was happening. The next couple of judges here, Jephthah, again, like I said, he was the judge while that all started. And then we have Ibzan and Elon are the next couple judges. So they're judging Israel at the same time as all that was going on over in Greece. Ramses II was now in power down in Egypt. He was also a great pharaoh, but he was really riding on the tails of his father. He was just kind of like Solomon and David. David was a great king, and Solomon was a great king, but a lot of his a lot of the glory of the kingdom was built on what David had already established. And obviously, God allowed that, but we see you can see that in many different nations and empires. Somebody establishes, and the one who follows reaps all the rewards. So, kind of the same thing was happening in Egypt. Ramses II did many great things. Ramses III was also a great pharaoh, but much because he was completing what his father had laid out. All right, so I guess that'll close us for this evening. We'll look at a little bit more of what was going on with Jephthah in the next couple ones next week. But since I had that slide there, I might as well tell you. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you, Lord, for all the things that have happened in history. And most of all, Lord, how they all point to the validity of the timeline of Christ. how the lineage of Christ can be traced back. The prophecies all look forward. And the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled all the law and the prophets. And all of history, in some form or other, proves this. And we thank you, Lord, that you are eternal and that you will get the glory no matter what mankind says or does. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.